This is episode 115 of the Rise Up Podcast. We're a morning radio show hosted by Steve and Tim on Family Life, a network of stations across New York and Pennsylvania. This podcast is a weekly conversation designed to help you think and laugh and keep your eyes on Jesus. If you haven't already, subscribe today so you don't miss a single episode. And find out more about our show at familylife.org.
Feel free to stick around a while. We love it when you're here. This is Rise Up with Steve and Tim on Family Life.
It's an exciting day that comes every year on the calendar. And oh, there's lots of exciting days.
They're
just at Easter. That's an exciting Christmas day.
Oh, so good. I mean,
your birthday or someone, a loved one's birthday. Many big days come up on the calendar. And then... There's April 15th.
I'd say you were being facetious, except exciting doesn't necessarily mean happy excitement.
It doesn't stir up excitement for a lot of smiles. It's like
not smiles.
Tax day. Okay, let's go to tax day. So where do we stand? As Christians, you know, there's lots of talk, it has been over the years, and we know from the Word of God we are to pay our taxes. So how do we approach tax day?
Even if you got to get a fish to do it for you. I forget that this is in there sometimes. This wacky story in the Bible where there's a certain tax that needs to be paid, and Jesus has this miracle happen where a fish kind of like comes out of the water and has a coin in its mouth for Peter to take the coin out and go and pay the tax. Like, taxes are that important that if God needs them to get paid by a miracle, he will? Okay, maybe there's a different lesson going on there, but fish are getting involved here as well, so clearly there's some sort of importance in this in God's word.
That's right, and there is. Now, keep in mind, though, sometimes we just look at the tax by itself, and, you know, we are to pay taxes. That is our responsibility.
Yeah.
But the apostle not only says pay our taxes, but we also owe something else besides taxes. We owe respect, and if that, honor, give that. Sometimes we go like, I don't feel like giving forgiveness today,
or
I don't feel like doing this and doing that. But if the Word of God tells us to, then what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to go by what we feel like doing or what we are supposed to do? Never forget, the worst of governments are better than total anarchy. And a lot of functions of like that government, God ordained himself.
This is the crazy thing about what you just said, Steve. It's that I think it's so hard for us as Americans because, like it or not, rebellion is kind of ingrained in us, in a sense. Rebellion is kind of ingrained in us, in a sense. It sort of goes back to our origin story, you know, throwing off of what we thought was an unjust government and all this kind of thing. The Bible does tell us to respect our leaders and, like, says, even at a time where the government that they had was not a good one, the Bible was written under a place where it says to obey the authorities and to respect the authorities. Man, that's not easy to swallow, I think, when you're especially as a proud American Christian.
Yeah, the more I looked into this and as knowing we're going to talk about this. Now, God calls us to pay taxes. But here's the thing. He calls us to pay taxes, not to approve of everything our tax money pays for. Here's an example. In Paul's day, tax money was used to pay the salaries of soldiers and other officials who persecuted Christians and committed other awful things. Nevertheless, Paul told the church at Rome to pay its taxes anyway. Paying our taxes is not a sign that we endorse everything the government does with our money, but it's one way we fulfill God's command to submit to what he tells us to do.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big difference there.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. I think it's got to come down to humility in some senses. Realizing, okay, I don't always need to understand to obey, even if I really like to understand before I obey. I don't necessarily need that. And looking to the example of realizing that, yeah, like you just pointed out, people who were getting God's word for the first time, receiving even what Paul wrote in the Epistle of Romans, when they're getting that, they're hearing that to obey a government that's even that's not a representative one like what we have. That's really important.
It reminds me, I'm not sure if this is related or not, it reminds me of like how many times as a kid or a parent, either one, and maybe both depending on your situation, as a kid you're like, why do I have to do this homework? Mm. I mean, this homework, it will have nothing to do with anything in life that I'll have to know, that kind of thing. And then you hear the comeback from the parent or the teacher to say, oh, it's not about necessarily the homework per se, although you can get benefit from that. It's more of the process of, are you obeying what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to do the homework, the process of doing the homework and being obedient. But I don't feel like it. Well, I know. I don't feel like paying taxes. Well, right. I know you don't feel like it. And what good is it doing? Well, I understand that, but that is not the, that's not the point. The point is being more obedient.
Definitely. What if it's like more than just taxes too? I'm thinking about the things that none of us can change. So obviously taxes fall into that category of what was it? Ben Franklin said it, that nothing's certain except for death and taxes. Mm. Like, haha, Ben Franklin, you're clever. But no, I mean, it's a good point that some of the things that are really unpleasant about life, more than death and taxes, are certainties. So what am I going to do about that? I can't change them. I can't avoid them. At least taxes, not without severe consequences anyways. Like, they're coming for us. And that's not to sound really grim. It's just to say, do I still believe God is in control? Do I still believe that God is the one ordering what is allowed into my life? And that ultimately, if I deal with it, obeying his word, that's going to be best for me? That's not easy to believe. I don't even know if I am believing that in my actions like right now, or if I definitely need to hear myself saying it, preaching to myself. God allows a lot of things. A lot of them aren't comfortable, but they might be unchangeable, like death and taxes. And realizing that I can't do anything about it except for obey what I know is in front of me, maybe that's all I can do sometimes and all I need to do.
Well, this has been an uplifting conversation about taxes, right? You're like, oh, I don't feel so good. Well, I understand. So can I leave you with something that maybe make you feel a little better?
You sure can.
All right. It's about a kid who was asked in his classroom. Hmm. It's like, what do you, and this is a Southern, say, what do you know about taxes? He said, well, I know it's near Oklahoma. You feel any better yet?
Facing a whole new day is a lot easier when you remember that God is in charge. You're listening to Rise Up on Family Life.
I loved this story my pastor shared recently. An aristocrat wanted a painting. Oh, he wanted it so bad. So he had his people, you know, aristocrats, they have their people. Mm-hmm. He had his people search the world's galleries for this painting. He'd pay anything for it. It wasn't till a good while later, one of his people came back to Mr. Aristocrat and said, we found the painting. You already own it, sir, in one of your vaults. Now, here's what I needed to hear from that. Hmm. I'm someone who's trusted in Christ. Maybe you have too. But have you ever wondered, like, is there a secret? Like, do I really have all of God? Is God holding out on me? Maybe there's something I could do to get more favor, more power from God. I want that painting. Okay, what if God has already given to you and to me all of himself? Mm-hmm. He's the one who already paid the ultimate price for me to have all of him. And I just need to see that. The painting is already in your vault. Mm-hmm. Are you enjoying it?
We hope the rest of your day is just as much fun as this. You're listening to Rise Up on Family Life.
Boy, the Word of God just brings that sharpening. And then even reading today's verse of the day, Proverbs 1:7, about fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Wow.
So I read that and I'm like, okay, I need to take that to heart more and more often. And so when I read something that I think I know something about, I was like, well, I know that, but I want to read a little more in depth. And this was about, it's better to move around. This is a health thing, and we're all concerned with health.
Sure.
God gave us the body. We need to be mindful of that. So it says, move around. It's better than being sedentary, being sitting
makes
still.
Sense.
It's better than that. So it says, moving around is so much better. Moving.
Steve.
Is always so much better.
The microphone, so you want to come back to that microphone, Steve?
Moving is a lot better than standing right where you are.
Good wisdom.
So I feel like
maybe better wisdom when you're not like on a live radio.
I just move. Now, what does it say about fools again here? Let me see this again.
Thanks for making us part of your morning routine. It's Rise Up with Steve and Tim on Family Life.
Very serious subject, voting. Very, very serious. We're not making fun of voting. We're kind of having fun with a fellow who is actually running for president, but he's a little disgusted. He changed his name legally. He really did. Yeah. He's down in Texas, too. Literally anybody else. That's his name. And he's putting himself on the ballot.
So he's got a sense of humor. We'll give him that.
Yeah, we'll do it. So we're just having some fun here on Rise Up. Not making fun of elections. We're just having fun with what would your name be changed to if you wanted some votes.
Right. And Kelly's got a sense of humor, too. A really competitive name this would be if you were on the ballot. Mm-hmm. Bettern. Mr. Bettern.
Bettern?
Bettern those guys.
Bettern?
Oh, Bettern those guys. Okay. That's why. Okay. So a little less subtle, maybe, though. Tom from North Pitcher, New York says, change your name to Must Fill This Circle.
Oh, I like Must Fill This Circle. All right, where do you live? What's your name?
I live in Wellsboro, PA. My name is John.
You know, it's a serious topic, voting, and that's a very important, but when someone changes their name legally to literally anybody else and runs for president, we just thought here at Rise Up, we could come up with some better names. Oh, yeah. Do you have one?
Hey, you know, I think I do. And it's something that actually can be applied to the people that are currently serving in every line of government, local, state, even people in the world.
Okay.
Oh. And here's the last name. Ready?
Uh-huh.
Last name, Ling Down. Ling Down, the first name, Arnie. Say it fast.
Arnie Ling Down.
Arnie Ling Down.
Arnie Ling Down.
Are kneeling down.
Are kneeling down.
Are kneeling
down.
Ooh.
That's what we need, and that's what we all need to do.
Wow.
For them and for ourselves eventually.
Oh, man. That
is it.
Arnie Ling Down.
Kneeling down. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Gotta be praying. I love that.
Fun.
May the blessings of the Lord be with you in all that you do today. This is Rise Up on Family Life.